Well, let's open our Bibles. We're going to spend a few moments here today to John 3:16. And we would like to open our lessons with this particular scripture. All familiar with this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I like to read Psalm 119, 130. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. That's Psalm 119, 130. And the entrance of his words that give light, the Holman Christian Standard says, the revelation of your words brings light. It's the opening, it's the revealing of God's word. And let's turn over for a moment. I want to get started here. Let's go to Hebrews 11:6. We're talking about faithfulness. And has anybody asked the question? I know I have. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I have, and I'm sure some of you have. How many have ever thought, boy, if I just had a little more money? I know. You know, you all thought the same thing I have. If I just had a little more money, I could do more for God. Anybody ever thought about that? I think everyone. If I had just a little more money, I could do more for God. Well, that's good. This is not a trick question, but I've thought about it. If I just had some more cash, some more liquid money, I could do more. How many have ever thought, I've just thought, oh, here's a good one. I've thought about this. How many have ever said this? If I just had a little more anointing, I could do more for God. Anybody ever thought about that? I'm sure everyone in here has thought the same thing, just nobody raised their hands. I have. If I just had a little more of your power, your anointing, I could do more for you. Right? How many have ever thought of this? If I could just understand the Bible more, if I had more revelation in your word, I could do more. Anybody ever thought that? I have. We all have, right? Here's a good one. These are all things where we live, right? How many have ever thought this? If I just had a little more time. Take a deep breath, as Pastor Judy likes to do. Inhale, exhale, you'll be all right. If I just had a little more time, I could do more for God. Anybody ever thought about that? So the first question is, if I had a little more money, I could do more. Well, there's a scripture, and then we'll read the scripture first. I said turn over to to Hebrews 11, but maybe a more apropos let's go to Luke 16. Because all of this is in regards to faithfulness, And I believe you're going to grasp something today that will help you immeasurably. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You could be young or you could be old, older, you see. You'll get something out of this. You really will. Luke 16. It says, Luke 16 and verse 10, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." So when we talk about if I had just a little more money, I could do more. Well, what are you doing with what you have? See, God is not looking at quantity. And I hope this hits home here. God's not looking at amount. He's looking at faithfulness with what you do have. He's not saying, well, you know, this sister over here gave a dollar and this person over here gave a million. And he said, oh, they're more faithful. No, this person could give a million, but really had the means to give 10 million. They're not faithful. But then this person gave a dollar, but that's what they could give. That was a big amount to them. They were faithful to give what they had. See, if you're not faithful with a dollar, you won't be faithful with $1 million. You won't be. So when we say, if I could just give more, I'd do more for God. No, you won't. No, you won't. So you think you will, but you won't. When you're not faithful when you can't be seen, you won't be faithful when you are seen, you see. So it's important that when we walk this Christian walk, God's standard of measuring things is a little different than what we measure by. See, we measure from what I would almost say a carnal way of thinking. We don't measure from heaven's standards. What's heaven's standard? Right here. And see, so when we look at it from this, when we look at it from the Bible, then we're looking at it from a spiritual standpoint. God measures differently. He doesn't, and I guess this is a good, let's jump over to Matthew 25, and let's look at this account here, Matthew 25, and we'll get to these other scriptures in a moment. But Matthew 25, see, sometimes, you know, we hear this even where pastors are concerned that are over a sheep. They'll say, well, you know, I wish I had, because you hear this, sometimes pastors think, well, if they had more people, they'd be more, they would have more impact. Wrong. Be faithful with the people you have. Be faithful with what you have. And as God watches the faithfulness with what you have, he increases. That's God's way. And sometimes people are looking for the bigger, the greater. When God's way is you're faithful with little for a long time, and then he gives more. He increases. And so you can see here in Matthew 25, starting in verse 14, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, say 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Ah, so you can stop here and see why God distributed the way he did. He gave one five, another two, and another one. Was this because God liked one more than another? No, it said here that they were distributed according to their ability. So God knew when these were distributed. Of course, this is talking about the distribution here of goods. You can see here that the person that did the distribution knew that the one that got the five or the one that got the two couldn't handle five. And the one that got one couldn't handle any more than that. So obviously the person that was distributing the talents knew, right? You can see that here. It says they were every man according to his ability, and straightway the owner took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, when you look at that particular story, isn't it interesting to me, I find it interesting, that the same words from this Lord who had five and doubled it and made another five, and the two that had two and doubled it and got another two, the Lord said, well done. So it's not quantity. He didn't say, really, really good to the five, and this was just good to the two. He said the same thing. So they were faithful over what they were given. And they did something with it. And you can see the one that had one, he was afraid of that master and didn't do anything with it. And it got me to thinking about some things, just the questions that I was asking. If I had a little more money, if I had a little more time, if I had a little more power, I could do more. And it got me to thinking about, what am I doing with what I have been given? Because God has given us all things differently. You know, and when we come into this earth, we may be graced with a little more than others. Some may have some may have a little less. But as what we've been given, when we do something with it and we're faithful, then it's added to. And one thing, the scripture talks about, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive what? Isn't that what the scripture says? We receive what? Mm-hmm. So when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive power. Another way we could say, we received an anointing. Aren't we just like the one who received the one talent? So the question is, or the two, or the five, and I tell you, I have to reflect and ask myself, because this is self-examination. This is not just for all, this is for all of us. When we say, if I could just have a little more of your anointing, I could do more. And let me ask this question. What do you think the Lord, our master, would say to us? What do you think he would say? He'd say, what are you doing with what I gave you already? See, we're waiting for something for him to do. He already did it. He already said, when you received the Holy Ghost, I gave you power. And so the question is, what are we doing with what we've been given? And that's the question I always ask myself. What are you doing with what you have? Because when we want increase, he says, why would I give them increase if they're not doing anything with what I've already given them? Why would you do that? No good master would do that. So he wants us, and that's why so often the church today is, and I think this is a reason why we see this. We talk about faithfulness and faithful to God, faithful to what he's given us. There's going to be no increase unless we do something. See, we have to, I think sometimes, and this is why this is something that's, you know, been on my heart, sometimes there's this, I guess maybe the word would be some kind of fantasy about what people think ministry is. They think, you know, that ministry is this. No. Ministry is whatever makes up the ministry. That is ministry. When you look at the travels of Paul, and all the hardships that they went through, the shipwrecks and all, that was ministry. Those were assignments that God gave him. And so sometimes when things don't go right or things are hard and there's long hours and there's long work and there's this, I don't like this. this can't be ministry. Yes, it is. This is exactly what it is. This is it. And those that stick with it are the ones that get used, that don't give up. I remember Pastor Tim Rogers, who's down in Mexico. They started 18 years ago in Mexico City. Still has that Canadian accent. And even though he speaks Spanish with a Canadian accent. I always try to figure that out, but everything's a little A, you know. But he said, I'm not any brighter or smarter or more anointed than anybody else. He said that typically one out of four quit the mission field after about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. They just quit. It's too hard. It's for whatever reason. They give up. And he said, I didn't give up. I just stuck with it. And so now they've expanded. And of course, they're affiliated with Rhema Bible Training Center or college out of Rhema. I'm out of the main school. But they started with one Bible school. They are now expanded. They have seven. And they're expanding because that whole area is just, it's a massive area. But he was faithful, and God is bringing people to help support that. So the question is, you know, even in any area, you know, could be your own personal life, it could be the church, the ministry. We have to be faithful over what we have to work with. And one of the things I believe, and I, you know, if you turn for a moment, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll kind of set this question up. When you think about faithfulness, you know, if I asked for a definition, what does someone think faithfulness is, or how would you describe faithfulness, or the quality of faithfulness? What would you think? What are some of the words? Reliable, steady, committed, right? Trustworthy, or someone who stands firm to their word, somebody who's faithful, you would think that, right? Well, all that's true, but I'll even capsulize it down to one thing. I think we can look at it and say, okay, these are definitions. I kind of think of it in the same lines. If we looked at verse 9 in 1 Corinthians 1, what does it say? God is faithful. When you do the same thing, you can say, well, what is love? God is love. So what is faithful? God. So if we wanted to know what the characteristic of faithfulness is, God. So you have to start looking at, why is there a lack of faithfulness? They don't know God. Because the more you become like him, the more you pattern yourself after him, don't you? And so now you can begin to see, well, of course, you know, we understand why the world is not that way, but I will say, if you go back, there was a moral guide in this country. If you went back 40 years, 50 years, there were things that just weren't talked about, things that weren't discussed, things that weren't displayed openly. There was a sense of right and wrong in this country, in this world. And the further we got away from God, the further you get away from faithfulness. And that's why you see it so prevalent that nobody is really faithful in society. I mean, there are some. I'm not going to say nobody is. But you see more and more of that attribute of unfaithfulness displayed in society. But it should not be in the church. And I think the more we seek after him, the more we become like him. How do we do that? Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that. Romans 12. It talks about, yes, my heart has been changed. I've become a new creature in Christ when I became a new born-again Christian. I was engrafted into the vine. But the scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind that who? You prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So for us, we're going to have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we become more and more like him. And when we do, there'll be those attributes exhibited in our lives. If we were at one level of faithfulness, we're going to rise to another level of faithfulness and another level of faithfulness. See, we just don't go from here to here. There's a transformation in our lives. You know that. You know, how many are in here are married? And so even in a marriage, would you not agree there was one level of commitment, but as you stayed with one another year after year after year, there's a transformation even in you. There's another level of commitment towards one another, isn't there? There is. And so I believe the same things apply in spiritual things, that as we hunger and thirst after him, as we renew our minds, there's another level of faithfulness, not only to him, but it's exhibited in us. We're faithful. We're committed in every area of our lives, in our families, in our work, with our children, with our wives, with our friends, with our church, with our giving. You could go through all of the various things that we become more like him in our faithfulness. Would you agree? And that's a transformation that takes place in us. That's why when you hear singers sing songs like, "Yes, Lord, I say yes." What is that? That's a level of commitment to him. And so we're saying yes. We're saying, "I'm going to be faithful to you, committed to you, steady with you, God." You see? So that's an area that I'm beginning to see, that faithfulness is something that needs to be developed. And that development is going to take place by a transformation in us. It's just not going to be something that God's going to drop something on us. You know, we want more of this, more of this. We want more, more. Just give me more. If I had more, I'd be better. No, you won't, because you're not faithful now in the little bit. Just stay faithful with this little bit that I gave you, and then I'll expand. So often, you know, in a church, let's use this example. How many have children? And how often children will, as they're growing and maturing, they'll say, "I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. I don't need your help. I can do that. Let me do this." And a wise parent may say, "You know what? They're just not ready for that yet. But I'm going to give this little bit over here and let them develop in that first." Don't we do that? And the child goes, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I know I can do this. And sometimes a parent will have to give them less to develop in. They're not mature enough. They're not ready for the greater. Our Heavenly Father knows that also, that He gives us a little bit. Be content with what you have. Be faithful with that. And as you are, He will give more. He'll add to that. And sometimes we want the more, and we're not ready. We're not ready for the more. We're not ready. See, if you got more anointing and more revelation, the question would be, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the additional revelation and the additional anointing? What are you going to do with that? See, because if you're not doing anything now, what are you going to do when you get more? See? And that's God's way. That's His, I like to say His MO. That's His way of adding to our lives. And so, when we talk about I've heard, well, I'll use myself as an example. I've shared this for 20-some years. I served the pastors here faithfully, didn't miss things. I was here all the time when I was asked and when I wasn't asked. And it wasn't always glamorous, wasn't always fun. And, if I looked at things, I did it because, God told me to do it, and it was in my heart to serve them. And to make it easy for them. And I shared this, in Nanuet. I don't share it that often, but I think in this setting, it's appropriate. But we were doing all-night prayer. Brother Hagen was alive at the time. He was coming from Rhema. He was doing some meetings at RLCC and had done a number of them. And so we went for a period of time. We were doing all-night prayers. I think we were doing them once a month or something like that. And so my regular job, I'm on staff. I get in about 8:30 in the morning. And, of course, we work. I was working 8:30 to 5:30. And that's my normal 5 days a week. And then running sound on Sunday, running sound on Friday, running sound on Wednesday night, those kind of things. I didn't get paid for it, I just did it. And that was volunteer work. But I remember after doing a number of these all-night prayers, I would be playing music for another 12 hours. And so by the time I got home in the morning, I'd been up about 24 hours. So have a little breakfast and go to sleep. And so after two or three of these meetings, I was like, you know what? I'm tired. I've had it. I want to do this. And I said, I came in, and of course we had choir rehearsals on Thursday nights. So we were doing Thursday night choir rehearsal and blah, blah, blah. So, by the time Friday rolled around, been out Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, now I'm thinking all night, I'm tired. And I could care less if they hear music tonight. That's about what I thought. I really did, just kind of being real. I just said, could care less, I'm going to come in, because we didn't have the facilities that we have today. Like today we have a computer, we can just load up a playlist of songs, hit play, and go. We had two CD players, and I had a stack of CDs, and you'd spin from song to song. As you were led, that's what I did. So that night I came in, I said, you know what? I'm loading a CD in. I'm going to hit play, and if it starts, fine. If it don't, fine. I'm going to get up and walk and pray, because that's what I desired to do. I wanted to pray. And so as I'm walking around the top of the sanctuary, kind of, you know, in my bad attitude, because that's really what it was. It was a bad attitude. And so as I'm walking along, this lady walked by and slapped something in my hand as I'm walking by. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and I get this, and I looked at it, and it was a note, so I didn't look at it, and so I just kept walking, and I heard, look at the note. So I opened the note up, and this was in 1997. This was June 28th, 1997. And now, this will read your mail and sit you down, because it got me to crying after I read it. And I said, let me go down and go back to my post. And as they say, suck it up and stop your moaning and groaning and just go back to what you were doing. But this is what this is what the word of the Lord was to me. Great is your faithfulness to me, your God, to your pastors, to the leadership in this portion of the body of Christ. I see your good works and your trusting heart. Continue to be faithful to me, your Lord, your Redeemer, your friend, and I will continue to be faithful to you. Well, that'll sit you down. I just said, well, let me go back and sit down and stop mumbling. Because he saw that you're mumbling all of the time, and what you liked and didn't like, and all of the you didn't like this and didn't like that. What he's looking at is, did you show up and were you committed to do what you said you were going to do? And God was weighing things a little differently than I was. I was mumbling and he was keeping a scorecard of me being faithful. And so it's important that when we commit to things, I'll just say it to that, whatever it is that God's giving us, that we do it and be steady. Be committed to that. And as we're committed to that, God will add to it. And that goes with, you know, God has been stirring me, as I'm sure he has with you. You know, we want more revelation. And the first thing God will say is, okay, how much time are you spending in the Word? You want more revelation, but you're not even spending enough time. You want more anointing. He may say, how much time are you spending in prayer? Get up earlier and pray. Take this time that you have and pray. Study. See, we want more from God, but he's asking us, what are you doing with the time that you have? We want to be more effective for God. We want to have more impact for God. We want the blessings of God. But he's asking us, how faithful are you with the time that you have? And God's not asking us to be unreasonable. He's not an unreasonable God. But if we have an extra hour or 5 hours, what are we doing with that time? If we have extra money, what are we doing with that extra money? Are we going to him first and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do with this time? What do you want me to do with this money? I have to be honest in all times and all places. Sometimes I don't. That's just being honest. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm just tired. I want to lay down. And he may say, no, it's not time yet. I want you to do this. You know, so I think that's just being honest that you know, in this season that we live in, we have to have more of the heart of God, where what we have is concerned. Because God may say, I want you to do such and such, and go over here and do something with this person. I want you to pick up the phone. Well, I'm too busy. I don't want to call that person. I don't like that person. you know, it could be a variety of things. But I think where faithfulness is concerned, this character, I wrote this down this morning. When we read in 1 Corinthians 1:9, when it says, God is faithful. And there's tons of other scriptures that say the same thing. How would you become more faithful? How would you become, and this is, I think we touched on it just briefly here. If I want to become more faithful, then I have to become like Him. So, if you wanted to become like Him, there's a word that I would use, that I need to pattern myself after something, wouldn't I? If I want to become like something, I have to pattern myself after it. I mean, you could look at sports. They say, I want to be like Mike. Well, how, they want to pattern themselves after that. What do? They study that person. So they become like him. Growing up, you know, how many, you know, I guess I dated myself, but, you know, at home, my parents, my mother would have patterns that she would buy to make things. Anybody remember those things? And your mothers would buy patterns and they would make dresses or whatever and they would cut out and follow the pattern. Well, in order for us to become like God, we're going to have to pattern ourselves after Him. And when we do, not only is our love will increase, our faith will increase, but our faithfulness will increase. Does that make sense? Now, let's take a moment. Let's look at a few scriptures here. I'll eventually get back over there, but let's look at Proverbs 28. This season that we live in, as I was saying, where lives are in the balance, God is looking for people to use, but He's going to use faithful people. That's what He's going to use. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. And there's some other translations. The Voice translation says, a reliable person will not escape blessings. So we're talking about faithful, we're talking about reliable. The New Living Translation says, a trustworthy person will get a rich reward. Let's back up to Proverbs 20. And let's look at verse 6. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. I like the Message translation. It says, lots of people claim to be loyal and loving, but where on earth can you find one? A lot of times we say, I'm faithful, and I think the Lord will say, okay, you are. Let's prove it. See, we want what the scripture says, that we are a light set upon a hill that all can see. And so we want people to see the God in us, and that one thing is key. Yes, the love of God is the commandment. But also, faith and faithfulness is key. Who did he use through the Bible? You can see it You can see he used Abraham. Right, I heard that. Let me just read some scriptures here that I had jotted down. It says we are blessed. This is in Galatians. Let me find that. Galatians 3:9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. God considered Abraham faithful. We know that he was when we read all his accounts of what God directed him to do. Hebrews, over in chapter 3, it talks about Moses being faithful. And you can read the stories there. Stephen was faithful. Elisha and Elijah, faithful. And you can begin to see same thing. Joshua talks about how he served Moses faithfully. Jacob, you can see all the whole story about how he served Laban for Leah and then Rachel. He served Laban faithfully, the scriptures say. So these are the things that today our lives should be on display. We should be a model, a pattern of what God is. We should be faithful. And our lives should exhibit that, not the other. And, you know, if we're not there yet, then make the correction. Make the adjustment. Ask for God's help. I want to be more faithful, God. Then be faithful where you are. Be faithful with what you have. You know, I'm thinking about this story. It just came to my mind. As a young man that worked for this ministry, oh gosh, how many years ago did Scott Isabel work for the ministry? It was 20-some years ago, easily. He was 18 when he came. He's out of high school. He came, started working for the ministry in the maintenance department, you know, just vacuuming and doing various things. And he always had a good business mind, even as a young person. But he felt he wanted to go out, and so he went out and he started buying up. Even as a young person, he bought up landscaping companies. He started with one, then he bought another one. So he had two or three landscaping companies, and he had people working for him and so forth. He was busy. Then he was doing, like most landscapers, they were doing snow removal during the winters and so forth and so on. So he was doing okay, you know, as they say, financially. But then there reached a point where one of the ministers that was associated with our ministry, he was passing away. He was in a hospice. He had lung cancer, and Scott was taking care of him. He was going to him almost every day, reading the scriptures to him, and so forth. And Pastor John, before he passed, he said, "I want you to go to Bible school for me. I want you to go. I'm going to give you X amount of money, $5,000 or $6,000, and I want you." He didn't tell him where to go. He said, "I want you to go to Bible school." "Okay, I'll do it." So he honored his word. He passed away. He took his money, and he went to Christ for the Nations in Texas. And while he was there, he knew, Scott knew that you know, that money wasn't going to cover everything, so he needed to get a job. And so he got a job in what he thought was the school cafeteria. It was the school cafeteria, but it wasn't owned by the school. It was privately owned. He didn't know that. And so at the time, the lady who was over our children's ministry, he called back, you know, grumbling and complaining. He called me grumbling and complaining. "I don't like it down here. I'm away. I'm lonely," you know, blah, 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 all of that stuff, right? "And I miss my people, I miss my friends up here," and all of this. And so, you know, he says, "I don't want to do this job and work for this cafeteria." And Mrs. Felix said to him, "Boy, you better take that job." And so he finally took the job. And what did he start doing? Washing pots and pans. This is a little story here. He started washing pots and pans in this cafeteria. And I remember he called me once. He said, Ed, I have so much peace watching pots and pans. He says, I love it. He said, I have so much peace. The peace of God is just resting upon me. I said, well, wonderful. And so he did that for a while. Now listen to this. The owner took a liking to him and started giving him a little more responsibility there, other than washing pots and pans. And so this went on for a period of time, and little by little by little, the owner kind of just took him in, looked, liked him, and said, you know, you run my business. So he went from pots and pans to running his business. And then little by little, Scott graduated from Christ for the Nations. And then now he's there and go, what am I going to do? And so at kind of around that juncture, this owner said to him, Scott, I really want to retire and I don't want to run this business anymore. I'd like to turn this over to you. And so legally, this owner gave him the business, a multi-million dollar business. He gave it to him with all the employees, the 30-some employees. And today, he's the owner of it. And he's expanded. I mean, he's expanded into doing other things. He supports, I don't know how many missionaries and so forth and so on. But he was faithful, first of all, to the man of God who said, I want you to go to Bible school. He was faithful to do that. Secondly, when he got down there, he was faithful to take a job and to wash pots and pans, and he was in the place that he was supposed to be. And he was where he was supposed to be, and that part of his life began to unfold. And they gave him the business, literally gave him that business. And part of that, I believe, is that he was faithful. And God, he was faithful as far back as I can remember. You know, we would both plow snow all night long on our property down in Nanuet. Every winter we'd plow, just plow. We liked to do it, but we were faithful. They could count on us to do that. And so those are the kind of things that we need to, this is part of Christian maturity, Christian growth. As I say, it may not be exciting because, you know, growth and change is not necessarily exciting. It's like, ugh, I have to grow, I have to change, I have to mature, I have to take responsibility. That's where it lands. But the growth part, we all like the growth. We like the outcome, but sometimes we don't like the process. You know, we don't like the going through process, but that's necessary. And it's not exciting, but the results are. And this is where I believe we're at, that God wants us to develop more and grow more in this area and be faithful. Do an examination. Look at our time. Look at how we're using it. Look at our money. Look at, you know, if you're a father, are you there? Are you faithful in your home? Are you there for your wife? Are you there for your children? Are you there? Are you faithful? Same with moms. Are you there for them? Are you faithful? Are you faithful with the money that God has given you? Are you faithful with your time? And those are the things that God is looking for each of us. We want more, but he's saying to all of us, why should I give you more when you're not faithful with what you have? You see. You say, if we had more time, you know, the interesting thing is, because I even look at that, we all go through this time management thing. You know, I got too much on my plate, I don't have enough time. But if I made time for him, he may tell me, don't do this, don't do this. I'll bring somebody in to run this and do this. Now all of a sudden, you go, you got a whole lot of free time. See? But it takes time with him to become patterned after him and to find out how to be faithful, how to grow and be faithful in every area of our life. And anyways, these are the things that have been on my heart, things that are burning in my heart, and for me personally, to grow personally is to be more faithful in every area, because we all haven't arrived. There's things that we need to make adjustments in our lives and corrections to be more faithful, to be like him. Amen? Amen. Hope you got a little something out of that. It's looking at reflecting on our lives so that we grow, so that we can mature in the things of God. Amen? Amen. Any questions? Anybody have any questions? You have a comment? Oh, okay. So that means we'd...
Okay. Great teaching, number one. Thank you, Pastor. One of the things that I was laughing a lot when you were given the lesson, because I was just looking at myself through the whole thing. And one of the things is that God is constantly trying to take us to a higher level. And we are constantly fighting him when he's taking us up, because, like you said, we want the benefits, but we don't want the
process.
The process, right?
We don't want the process.
With the young man that you were talking about, this popped. Well, I guess the Holy Spirit gave me this. He said even though he was growing weary when he got to whatever state it was that he was in, because he missed everybody and he wanted to come back, he didn't quit.
He didn't quit.
He did not quit. Right. He stuck with it. And because he continued, God blessed him and gave him increase.
Right.
And because he could have just said, I'm coming home. And then he would have lost his blessing. Look at how much he would have lost had he quit.
Right.
And the second thing I also wanted to say is when we decide to make a commitment to God, to what he is trying to bring us into, the devil always sends us distractions.
Yeah.
To try to dissuade us from keeping on the road that God is trying to take us to. And sometimes with the distractions, like I said before, we will quit. But when we stay faithful and continue on the road that he is taking us, he always rewards us.
Always rewards.
Always more than we could ever think about. Because I'm quite sure this guy never saw himself as a millionaire.
No. He didn't.
He never saw himself that way. And most of us don't. We don't see ourselves as millionaires. And when you started the lesson, you said that what would we do if we had more money, all right? Notice that God didn't take him from the maintenance job at the church and gave him all of that money.
Mm-hmm.
There was a steady process.
Right.
He learned a lot. He learned the bottom job. He learned management. And he learned different types of management. Because remember, he had his own business too, so he had to be faithful to his own business. And then he moved on to caregiving, you know, and all of this was a process. Because I have a saying that says that everything that you have ever learned in life comes in handy for whatever it is that you're going to do. So I just love this teaching because I'm watching myself in all of this. Because I kick and scream a lot, you know, but it's another that's another story.
Yeah, and you know, we don't know what God has planned for each of us. And the process is different for each person. The path is different for each person. So sometimes the process of what we're going through has significance further down the road in our life. We don't know that. We just have to submit. We just have to yield and be faithful to that process. I didn't like, you know, I mean, there were times I mumbled and grumbled. You know, I've shared, you know, between working in the ministry, I wouldn't ask anybody, and we don't today. You know, it was something that was in my heart. I was single. I could do that. But I'd work my normal 5 days, which I was paid for, and then I would do sound on Sunday. But then on Saturday, the ministry would slot in other things. Men's fellowship on 1 month, on one Saturday, women's fellowship on another Saturday, and then young people's group on another Saturday. So once a month, I would say, great, I've got one Saturday to do something. And then they decided they were going to put something in on that free Saturday. And I said, well, you'll need to find someone else because I won't be there. And I was very serious. I just said, no. I said, now that's over the line. So, and they made some adjustments. But, you know, I think the point is that I was faithful to that. And God rewarded that. And if you're not faithful, point is, if you're not faithful in whatever area it is, that just happened to be that. But every area of our life, we need to be faithful. We need to come up another level of faithfulness. And I think so often you hear people say, you know, if I just had more power, you know, how would you like it? You know, you may feel insignificant because we've heard this. How would you feel if you followed a person ministering like Brother Hagin, who had been ministering 60-some years, walked in a prophet's anointing, had signs and wonders following him, and you have to get up and teach behind him? How would that make you feel? May make you feel possibly, I don't know, but it may kind of make you feel like, what have I got to offer? What I feel like a little insignificant someone, and what am I going to offer? But you see, God doesn't look at that. He doesn't weigh that. He doesn't weigh the same way we do. He looks at, let's go back to what the scripture says. Did he not say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to the one that had five and the one who had two. So he's not weighing like we're weighing. So if you're faithful with what you have, he will increase that. And so whether a person's been, yes, all those gifts and all of those anointings and special anointings rested upon him. But he had to be faithful where there's great gifts, there's great responsibility. And so he had to be faithful to what the Lord assigned him to do. Because if he gave him this big assignment and he wasn't faithful to it, he would hear something a little different. But let's say maybe you had a smaller assignment, but you were faithful to it. See, God weighs different. So all he's asking us to do is whatever you've been given, be faithful to that. Just be faithful to that. And God will reward. He'll expand according to your ability. You see? See, and we're not to covet someone else's gifts because it's according to, what does it say? The talents were distributed according to ability. So it's not about, well, I want what this other person has because it looks more what? It looks bigger, better, whatever. See, we weigh different. But maybe you can't handle that. So just be satisfied with the two that you have. Be faithful to that and let God judge. He's going to say the same thing to you as the person with more if you're faithful. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Amen. Something to think about. Praise God. Amen. 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 Well, let's close. Father God, we thank you for these thoughts to ponder upon for our Christian growth and development. And Father, it's not the hearer of the word, but the doer of what we hear that counts. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. And Father, we thank you for reminding us by your Spirit of being faithful to what you've given us. You've given us power to lay hands on the sick. You've given us power and authority in this earth to cast out demons. And we thank you, Father, that we can walk in this earth and use what you've already given us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God.